From the shadows of the radio towers,
this is the Gay PHX Podcast.
Your weekly dose of real talk,
queer joy,
and community connection.
It's gonna be a good day, and everything is going to go my way. It's gonna be a good day. The sun is shining bright and it's here to stay.
You know what they say about Phoenix? When the temperature rises, so does the community love. The first Grit Pool Party was a splashing success. We danced, we soaked, we connected, and if you missed it, well, don't make that mistake again. Tickets for the next one on June 1st are already moving faster than expected. Some folks have already locked in their tickets for a whole season. Grab yours now at gritaz.com before they dry up. And hey, speaking of hot tickets, don't forget, you've still got a chance to win Diamondback Pride Night tickets. That includes diamond level seats, 10% off concessions, 20% off merch, and yes, a parking pass to make that game day even sweeter. Huge thanks to Oliver Electric for making this giveaway possible. Today, we're bringing you stories that shine just as bright as the Arizona sun. Miss Honey T, your Mr. AGRA 2024, bringing grit, glamour, and joy to every rodeo and every stage. Knight Monroe, Arizona's Snow King, working with an inclusive platform and redefining royalty, as well as Steve Gonzalez with the Glad Dart League, building community through darts, fundraisers, and decades of chosen family. Three voices, three missions, all part of that vibrant pulse of Gay PHX. So settle in, Phoenix. These are your people, your stories, and your stage. But first, here's Brian with what's happening this week around town.
You're listening to the Gay PHX Podcast,
where community comes first.
Hey, hey, Gay PHXers, are you ready to shake off the work week and dive into the fabulous, the furry, and the fun? Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, it's your Gay PHX Weekend Picks. I'm Brian, and every week I bring you Brian's Hot 3 LGBTQ plus events lighting up the Phoenix scene that you can't miss from across the valley, the fun, fabulous, and full of local flavor. Let's get into it. Friday, May 23rd, 9 p.m. is Ozbar, karaoke night with DJ Topstar. Start your weekend with a mic in one hand and a drink in the other. DJ Topstar is back spinning all the tracks for karaoke night, so bring that main character energy and give us a show. From high notes to hilarity, you just might sing your way back to a free drink. Come for the bops, stay for the spotlight. And then on Saturday, May 24th at 9 p.m. at Thunderbird Lounge is Depeche Mode versus the New Order Night. It's the Sith Showdown of the Century. Are you Team Depeche, lost in the dark waves of moody brilliance, or is your heart with the New Order pulsing in their post-punk grooves? Either way, the DJs are bringing the heat and track for track, beat for beat. Dress the part, hit the dance floor, and fight for your faves under the neon lights. Walk in, dance out, let the Sith Wars begin. Then on Sunday, everybody's favorite, May 25th, noon at Pat O's Bunkhouse is the 14th annual Have a Heart Chili and Salsa Cook-Off. Bring your appetite and your heart to this spicy Sunday tradition. $10 to enter, $10 to taste, $100 for best chili, and $75 for best salsa. Medals will be given to the top three teams. All proceeds will go to Aunt Rita's Foundation, 1 in 10, and Prisma Community Care. Great flavors, great causes, and one hot afternoon you don't want to miss. Whether you're crooning karaoke, battling with sis, or heating things up with your homemade chili, Gay PHX has your weekend covered. And that's your Brian's Hot 3. This has been your Gay PHX Weekend Picks. Catch you next week, same time, same vibe, same rainbow-tinted mic. Until then, support local, show up queer, stay spicy. And if you want more events, more photos, and more fabulous in your life, head to GayPHX.com and get the latest on everything fun, local, and queer in the desert. Coming to you from the shadows of the radio towers, I'm Brian, and that's what's hot. We'll see you out there.
Want all the details? Head over to GayPHX.com, your one-stop shop for queer events, promos, and everything happening in the valley.
More stories, more voices, more pride.
You're tuned in to the Gay PHX Podcast.
Popcorn, peanuts.
You want to experience Pride Night at Chase Field like a VIP? GayPHX and Oliver Electric are giving away two diamond-level seats to the Diamondbacks Pride Night game on Thursday, June 27th. And yes, parking is included.
Popcorn! Peanuts!
You'll enjoy 10% off concessions and 20% off gear at the team shop. You can even order food from your seat with a QR code. Enter now at GayPHX.com. Bonus entries for following us, Oliver Electric, and subscribing to the GayPHX podcast. We'll draw the winner on Sunday, June 22nd, and announce the name in our June 24th episode. Don't miss this Pride Night hookup. Go enter now.
Another voice, another vibe, another reason we love this community.
What happens when rhinestones meet rodeo, when Southern Sass meets high-class desert heart, and when a drag performer brings both grit and glamour to every stage and saddle? Welcome to the rainbow-tinted microphone, Miss Honey T. Welcome to the podcast.
Wow, I love that. You guys, I'm humbled.
It's how I start every morning. It's a good energizer. So tell us what.
I was like, oh, okay.
What inspired the birth of Miss Honey T?
I'll tell people after the pandemic. I think a lot of people, you know, got back home, got laid off. I used to work home remodeling, which a lot of people, you know, like, don't know that I used to do, like, you know, like blue collar work. And, that's why I'm like, oh, well, no, like dancing and doing all this is easy. I was like, I used to roof in the middle of the summer. And, so I did that. And honestly, it's just, you break your back for very minimal, reward. And even when the money's good, it's like, you're too exhausted to like really enjoy anything. And you get home really late and it's just, it just wasn't something that I wanted to keep doing. And so after everybody kind of got like sent back home and had to reevaluate things and everything started opening back up, I just honestly told my partner, you know what? I don't want to go back to doing that. And it makes me really unhappy. And I really just want to do something else. And honestly, like every gay guy, we were binge watching RuPaul's Drag Race during 2020, and I was like, you know what? I know that we have a lot of shows that go down, and I wonder, you know, like what the business is there, and like, you know, like how you make money off of this, and they kind of started, you know, coming out, and like I like to think I'm a quick learner, and I, you know, just kind of went in and started figuring out what the business model was and how people make money off of this. And that's literally how it went. And that I was like, okay, once I figured out that, you know, you could theoretically make money in this field, I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to figure out how to do this. And he was pretty supportive of it. And now we're here.
That's
awesome. It took a while. I was like, it was a lot of, it wasn't as quick as I thought it would be.
Well, it always takes time to build quality.
I was like, oh, no,
this
actually takes a long time.
Right.
Yeah.
And where does the name come from?
Again, a lot of the pandemic was spent indoors. And during all that time, you do all these, screen names, playing video games and stuff, and I'd always be like, you know what? If I performed, I would go by this name, which had other meaning, and it has more meaning beyond that, to female independence and just kind of wanting to. I've always been very in touch with my feminine side, and I wasn't sure how I wanted to perform and how I wanted to present as a performer, but it felt like a good name. And honestly, it's a name that I started using before performing. As a Mario Kart, my Mario Kart.
Oh, that's
screen
hilarious!
Name.
Your Mario Kart screen name.
Yeah, and so it's like, and I started performing. I was just like, you know what? I was like, why come up? I was like, I already really like this name, and I like I said, I'd use it if I started performing, and then so I did.
So, as Mr. Arizona Gay Rodeo 2024, what does that title mean to you?
I felt like I have a lot of respect for a lot of the people that go out and do the royalty competitions, the pageants. And so it is a lot of this world has been a learning experience for me, because I've been working around in gay bars since I was like 23. So when I started performing, I knew that it was something that you had to do, in that I feel it gives you the platform to be able to advocate for the things that matter to you. And I've always been someone that, like, I'd like to support other people, but I always know that I have things that are important to me and things that I want to do and things that I want to speak on. And I know enough to know that you have to earn that voice and that platform. You can't just go around expecting that people are going to follow you or listen to you. Like, who are you to say these things or want to make these changes? And so I started looking into other groups, and I, know of the Imperial Court of Arizona and, like, know, like, Bears of the West. And I knew that, you know, Leather, which eventually we've come to that at this point, but had all these different organizations, and I started looking into them. And one night I just started sitting down with Ryder Gently. I don't know if you know him. He's the current mister for New Mexico, and he was our mister, M-S-T-E-R, for Arizona like 2 years ago.
That's why the
and,
name sounds familiar.
He just started telling me all these things about the gay rodeo. And a lot of their charitable, or like, you know, like the charity aspect of it is what really grabbed me. A lot of people don't know that the rodeo is almost completely run by all volunteers. Like, they have, I think, like a $10,000 overhead. Like, nobody takes like a paycheck. The president, almost everyone volunteers, from the entire arena crew to the people at the door to the people, like, literally almost no one is getting paid for working the rodeo. And I thought that was really great, because I'm like, wow. I was like, no one takes a cut of this. I always just thought this was like a for-profit event. I didn't know that all the money pretty much that the rodeo makes goes into running the rodeo. I mean, into, like the actual cost, because, you know, you have to rent an arena.
Sure,
that's not
right.
Free. Like, you know, like the
operating,
like,
expenses,
you know, what
and
you
cost
can't get
to
away.
Put the show on.
Yeah. And like animal rentals and stuff. And then everything that gets left on the table, like, gets given back to the community on this day called the Day of Giving, which happens once a year, where they just give back, like, I know this is 2 years in a row that they've given back over $100,000, and they just give it to just any random charities, like, that they've decided. They give it to softball teams. They give it to people, maybe like a community member that lost their home in a fire or something. They just give away $5,000 checks to like all these different organizations. And honestly, that's what sold me about the rodeo. I mean, like, I'd been going for a couple years, and then I find out that, like, you know, honestly, it really does seem like they're not doing this for profit. It's hard work, and they're just giving back to the community, and they're doing it to uphold these queer traditions. And that just sounded really cool to me.
That's
and
awesome.
I was just like, you know what? I'm like, let's do it.
So it sounds like before you started performing, you were actually kind of in front of the audience, so to speak, doing DJs. And do you remember what your first performance in drag was like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have no... I've always been, like, you know, like, and I'm like an extrovert by nature. I, you know, when I was like 23, doing karaoke would be like the person getting on top of tables and singing and stuff. Like, I just need one person to give me attention, and I'll do some crazy shit. But, so I mean, I knew that, you know, like, stepping on stage would be like a thing, but there's like this difference between, you know, having attention, you know, like a spur of the moment, and, you know, people like paying attention to you, that I've always like enjoyed. And then there's you're actually stepping onto a stage and knowing that people are going to watch you and judge you. And that was, like, you know, like, it was, I knew that it would take me, like, that it would be quick to get used to it. But first couple performances, like, I was like a nervous wreck. Like, I literally was like hyperventilating. I'm like, it was so packed. I'm like, I was like so nervous, like such a mess, like not put together. I'm like, it was that scene from Bring It On where I had my very first, like, the number that I was going to do for my debut was Britney Spears' Give Me More. And when I first started, like, you know, like the first couple of performances, I actually was a little bit more femme presenting in my way. It was still very much like an androgynous kind of gender fuck kind of thing. But so I had done Give Me More. And then, like, all of a sudden, like, I hear someone else's music come on and they're doing the song. And it's like, not even like a regular song, because you know, like, how it starts. It's all of a sudden you just hear that, it's Britney, bitch. And I was like, wait, is my song on? And nope, it's somebody else. And but that just made me more, I was like, oh, wow. I was like, she did my song. And later on, like almost like a year later, I actually know the performer. Her name's Femme Fatale. I come up to her and I'm like, you know, like, I was like, you know, I was there. That was my first night performing and you were there and you decided to do that song. And what's it called? It just made me like so nervous. And she's like, oh, really? She's like, I heard you do the song after me. And I was like, oh, this bitch has balls. I was like, she don't care that I just did the song. And I was like, no, I just couldn't change it. Like,
oh, that's so hilarious.
But,
well, I can imagine what the nerves are like.
Yeah, it took me a couple times, like, you know, like, to do it and really not feel like, you know, like, it's going to make me dizzy and stuff. But it honestly only, I think, maybe, like, maybe, like, two, like, within, like, 3 months, honestly, like, that feeling was pretty much gone. And then now I feel I get nerves in certain new situations that I feel there's, like, you know, like, an added pressure. But it's, like, I always know that I can, like, that I'm going to do it. And I think because a lot of people, it's not, like, a hobby for me or, like, something that I, like, it's, like, I really wanted to make a career out of it. And so anything that I do between running for a competition or hosting a show or hosting a fundraiser, it's all, you know, part of a business plan, part of, you know, like, me wanting to make something of myself, like, within this community and within this field. And so it's like, no matter what, like, you know, like, I always have to, like, you know, face it, and I know that I have to do it. And because there's no there's no other option besides, you know, going back to working blue collar work. And that's what always forces me to get through it.
So, knowing that you don't want to go back to an office space kind of situation.
Yep. Knowing that I'm not going to go back to roofing in the middle of July, I'm like, well, nothing can be worse than that. And with everything that I do and every, you know, bigger stage and everything, like, you know, it makes everything smaller in comparison. Like, I know with Phoenix Pride, that's, you know, until I do a bigger, you know, competition on a bigger stage than that, because that's at the Phoenix, Tempe Center for the Arts. You know, all the other contestants are bringing their stuff in U-Hauls, and I mean, the whole back, you have this whole dressing room backstage where it's like big enough that, you know, they're putting together productions back there, like, on a regular basis. And so it's like you get this much grander feeling. And I remember that day was like, I think probably like the most nervous I've, like, felt in the entirety of this whole, like, and I've been performing now almost 4 years. And I remember that morning, I honestly just did not want, I almost walked out and I was just like, I can't do this. Like, this is too much. And I almost had, like, my little panic attack just seeing the stage and just knowing, you know, like, I'm going to embarrass myself. And a lot of people kind of, like, make fun of me a little bit. I take it in stride. I, like, you know, like, sometimes it's like, people kind of joshing you about, like, you know, like, how I performed that day. And I was like, you guys do not understand, like, how nervous I was that I literally picked and did, like, the simplest things. Because if I had more, like, cogs and like into production, like if I had like, you know, done a number where I had two background dancers and one of the dancers didn't show up, I think that would have just sent me into a full on like panic attack or something. Like or if I had even picked a more intricate costume to do my talent in, and then all of a sudden I couldn't find the hat that went with it. Like I am very neurotic. And I have a lot of anxiety and I'm very neurotic. I'm very specific about certain things. I'm a little autistic, a little ADHD, and everything's been about like learning to trust myself, learning to trust others and rely on others. And it's been a journey, but it's all gotten better as time's gone by, and it's been a lot of fun.
And it seems like some of those nerves is just because you care so much and you want to make such a great product that.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's completely understandable. Now, we know that drag can be very powerful for storytelling. What messages or feelings do you hope to leave with your audience?
I feel, you know, at the very core of everything, you know, after a show, somebody will, at least like a handful of times where one woman came up to me and she said, you know, and one of my shows that I hosted, and she's like, you know, I had just gotten divorced with my husband and I hadn't left the house in like months and I've been really depressed and my friend's been trying to get me out and she finally got me to come out to the show and I just had like the time of my life and I want to thank you so much because you don't know what it means to me. And, you know, like, that's like really fucking awesome. Like, you know, and those are like the moments where you realize, like, you know, like, you think sometimes it's like, okay, it's like, sometimes I question if what we're doing is, like, entertainment, or if they, like, you know, I was like, oh, we're just, like, kind of dressing up and listening to songs, or doing these performances and stuff, and sometimes I'm like, I get in my own head, I'm like, is this entertainment? I was like, and then you get moments like that where you just, like, make people have, like, a really good time and make them forget about their like our deals, like, and that's happened quite a few times where people come up to me and be like, I've been having like a horrible time, or like my partner just died, or so. And it's just like, it's crazy shit, like, you know, like, it's like so heavy, and you gave that person like, you know, like 2 hours, like where you put a smile on their face, and like that seems worthwhile.
You gave them a reprieve from the pain that they feel of their daily existence, whatever's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that honestly, entertainment, like, I don't, like, it seems worthwhile to, like, you know, that I get to dance and, you know, find joy in being creative, and that, like, someone got a little joy from that, too.
And how do you bring your own flair to your drag?
No, I was like, to me, I feel like my performing, you know, self is literally just me with, like, makeup on. Like, because, yeah, the makeup's a bitch. I'm like, so I'm not going to do that every day. But, for the most part, I feel I've realized, you know, like, some people have to put on that persona, like, you know, like how they talk about it on RuPaul's Drag Race, where, you know, like, they feel a certain way and their persona lets them be this person, where I feel like I am, like, you know, who I am, like, who I present myself, like, on stage is just me.
That's my current attire.
Turned up, like, all, like, not even to them, like, just turned up a little bit more. Like, I exaggerate certain things, like, you know, but it is, like, you know, all truthful how I present myself. And I mean, that's just how I've always, like, wanted to dress. I've always been, like, super crazy and out there. And even since I was a teenager, I've always thought that, you know, how you dress is, you know, like, I like to get attention, and I like, you know, being able to wear my personality, because I've never felt like the most attractive guy. And so it's just like, well, I didn't want people to judge me based on my looks unless I was like a 10. And so I started, you know, like, always, like, you know, I was like, well, if I can't, you know, like, be a 10, I can't be this like super muscular 6'4" guy, I'm like, and get attention that way, I'm like, well, then, you know, I will make people look at me for my style. So when I was in high school, I used to always dress like super crazy, and literally, like, almost every single, like, you know, like, they would always get all the teachers would always be like, "Oh wow, you always have like a different outfit every day, and your hair is always this, and your hair." I used to dye my hair like all the time when I had hair, and I'd have these giant mohawks, and I honestly would always just kind of like cut up my shirts and do all this crazy shit, and I'd have to leave the house at like 5 in the morning because sometimes my mom would see me, and she'd be like, "You're not leaving the house like that," and so I'd have to leave like before she even got out. And I'd get up sometimes like to get up to school, like, you know, I'd to leave the house and get ready and like leave it so that my parents, because my parents were very traditional Catholics. So it's like to leave the house sometimes the way that I wanted, I'd have to like, you know, leave like almost like at 5 in the morning to go to school just so that I could dress like at school the way that I wanted. And then when I was on my way home, I would just kind of have to cover myself up with like a sweater and stuff, and then just kind of run in my room and change.
So fashion was your passion and you wanted to get away with it.
Oh yeah. It's like, I always like felt like more stylish than everybody. And my thing is that I don't think it's like kind of like the Betsy Johnson. Like, I know that my style is not for everybody. I know that even sometimes I look at pictures of my looks, or I'm in the moment I go out and I thought this outfit looks cute, and like an hour of being out, I'm like, I look fucking ridiculous. But I was just like, you just can't let it be known.
But ridiculous can still be
no,
fun.
No, yeah, I always tell myself, I'm like, I just can't show it. I mean, like, if you
right
go out and you act like, you know, you feel the coolest, then yeah, then I'm like, then who can judge it? I'm like,
right.
Because if you go out and you have this attitude, like you're dressed ridiculous, then yeah, people will think you're ridiculous. And some of my looks are a little ridiculous, and I don't repeat them. But but in the moment, I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to own it. I wore it already. I'm already dressed, and I'm already here.
But you push those bounds, and you're willing to take those risks and put yourself out there. And that's,
I think it's
important.
It's kind of like you and your partner. I think, you know, like, that matters. I'm like, for like a little kid that like doesn't really see like, you know, gay kids or see themselves, to just like see two adult men like just kind of being themselves, like I think that makes a difference.
Oh, I agree. Like, for those that don't know, my husband has neon green hair, and I have blue hair. And when we go to the mall, I see children and they're just completely enamored, especially with his hair, because mine, you know, okay, blue, but the neon green, you're just like, it looks like it's glowing. So I understand what you mean.
I admire you. Oh, no, go ahead.
What's that? No, you're fine. What were you saying?
No, go ahead. No, I was going to bring up, I was like, you two remind me a lot of like me and my partner in that, like, I mean, he's kooky, and people don't get that he's as kooky because they see him compared to me. But I mean, he wears like, you know, like these like neon colored socks and like odd colors. I'm like, he dresses kooky in his own way, and he's kooky in his own way.
That's awesome. So for younger or newer performers just entering drag today, what's one lesson that you wish you'd known when you started?
Don't assume that because someone's a good performer or a great performer that people look up to, that person is a good person. Just because you're a great performer doesn't mean that you're a good person. I was like, there's a lot of stuff, and then sometimes you forget like when they're all up in makeup, and that some of these guys and women are like 25, 26. I was like, at 25, 26, I was a mess. That's also too. It's like a lot of people don't assume that I'm younger than I am. I'm like, I'm 35. Well, I'm turning 36 in a couple months. And so it's like sometimes I have these like 27-year-olds that are trying to give me like life advice, thinking that they're speaking like someone younger than them. And I'm like, I'm like 8 years older.
Isn't
than
that
me.
Cute?
And yeah, I know that's not super old, but it's just like, to me, I feel like they want to give me some of this advice. And it's just like, I already went through that. I'm like, I'm already sure of myself. I'm like, I still know that I could be wrong, and I go about everything like I can be wrong, and I'm willing to listen to other people if they come at me with the intent to make me see things differently. Like, I'm open to conversations, and knowing that full well that even after everything that I've gone through, that I could be wrong. Whereas a lot of these 25, 26 year olds, I'm like, are very determined. They know, you know, what the right thing to do is. And I'm like, you guys will learn that you shouldn't be so quick to assume that you know everything about life at like 25, 26.
So where can listeners catch you for your next performances or follow along with your journey?
It's like, so it's nice to see all the work pay off. So I have a full calendar. I DJ. So if we're running through the calendar, I DJ two shows for Gabagool and Regina Gazelle at Boycott. On second Saturdays, I DJ Talk of the Town. And then on fourth Saturdays, I DJ a show hosted by Regina Gazelle and Gabagool called Feminine Joy. On fourth Wednesdays, I DJ and I'm a permanent cast member on The Royal Treatment, hosted by Taylor Renee, also at Boycott. And in coming soon, and this will be like a breaking news, it might be a second show added for The Royal Treatment. And then I also host my Western show, Saloon, every third Saturday at The Rock. And then my original show, my party show, that happens four times a year on fifth Sunday at The Rock, called The Rock Motel. And then I am in the finalizing stages to launch a new leather-based social show, which is going to be like, a show with like leather demos, some burlesque performances, and that's going to be more of like a social gathering that's going to be like around like 3 hours, that's going to be coming to The Rock in June. And then I also, those are actually like, I'm not going to go, those are like the main, like, performing and DJing gigs.
Well, when you get ready to launch in June, we'll have to have you back so we can talk about it again and remind the audience.
No, yeah, I'm excited to work with, I plan on reaching out and working still with, AML and AWOL and.
Awesome. Thank you. How can fans or supporters get involved with AGRA or the rodeo community too?
How do they get involved?
Yeah. You had mentioned it before and all the great things that they had done. So I thought.
So a lot of the great things about the rodeo is, again, it's just $20 if you wanted to become a member. And then you'll get all the, you know, you'll get all the emails telling all the information. And then on top of that, that $20 does get you into the, like, a free dinner. They have an annual dinner banquet. And like, so you basically pay the $20 for the membership, but you get a free dinner at the end of the year. So that is like pays off for itself. Nice. But if you didn't want to be involved,
you prepaid your dinner.
Yeah. If you didn't want to become a member, what a lot of people don't know is that you, the rodeo planning committee is open to everybody. They meet at, that office right next to the coffee shop in, right next to Charlie's, in front of Charlie's. And they have meetings, I believe, like every once a month on a Wednesday. Yeah, if you go to AGRA.com, it'll tell you, it'll have the calendar, and it'll tell you where the meetings are at. I know they're on a Wednesday, but I think they're monthly. And if you want to be a part of, like, you know, all the, and see how the rodeo comes together and all the planning and everything, you don't even have to become a member. You can just show up and just see how you can help. Or when the rodeo rolls around and you just want to help out like that day, you can just sign up to volunteer. And literally they have volunteers from watching the gate, people giving out waters. And so there's plenty of ways that if you just want to be a volunteer, if you want to join the rodeo, if you want to join AGRA, or if you want to compete, like it's a great organization. So I'd say, honestly, just reach out to someone within the rodeo, because there's so much to do, from if you wanted to compete, if you want to volunteer, if you want to help putting it together, if you just kind of want to donate your $20 membership fee and then not go to any of the meetings. there's like so many ways that you can help out the rodeo, and it's a really great organization here. Like, I honestly do think that it is one of the most giving organizations like in town as far as like queer organizations.
Awesome. Ms. Honey T, thank you so very much for joining us today. I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule.
Oh, no. I was like, daytime's easy. I'm like, usually I'm just hooking up.
That's the best sign-off ever. I love it. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
New episodes, local voices, big queer energy. Subscribe now to the Gay PHX podcast.
Have a car or you get drop off at the Melrose neighborhood.
This is the Rainbow on Wheel.
If you go to Bun House, if you go to Charlie's, if you go to Thunderbird Lounge, or even Stacy's, they got you. Back to back, all the bars at the Melrose neighborhood, Rainbow and Wheels got you. The rates are only $4 per person, $6 per couples. If you have a whole group, it's $9. And they also have like a night pass for $10. And the space is amazing. It's very comfy. It's very safe. It's quick. It's cheap. You gotta try it. Please follow their page. Me as your Mr. Phoenix Pride, I recommend this service. Rainbow and Wheels at Melrose neighborhood.
More stories, more voices, more pride. You're tuned in to the Gay PHX podcast.
What happens when pageantry becomes more than performance? When a crown is more than just a title and a jacket of rhinestones becomes an armor for authenticity? Today's guest turns spotlight into service, blending elegance, grit, and grassroots heart into every step he takes, on stage and off. From benefit shows to national competitions, he's not just representing Arizona, he's redefining what royalty can be. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Knight Monroe. Howdy.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Let's start with your origin story. Who is Knight Monroe, and how did you bring him to life?
So I'm originally from Oklahoma. Back in Oklahoma, you know, there's not a lot of spaces or things, you know, to, you know, promote art or be somewhat of an individual and, you know, do the art of drag or what I do, male entertaining or theater, or just really anything like that in Oklahoma. It's, you know, not necessarily something that's very popular, frowned upon, or, you know, also frowned upon there. And so, you know, as I got out of high school and I moved to Oklahoma City, I got into contact with who my drag mom is, Jack K. Monroe of Oklahoma City. And I got in contact with her and, like, this whole drag family, the Monroes. And I was just so enamored by, one, the talent and the art that this whole drag family, drag house, kind of put on stage, and then also off stage, like the family aspect of it being there for each other just kind of enamored me. And it was like something I never had really been around, you know, being in Oklahoma, and it kind of just took a hold of me and kind of called to my inner theater kid. And from that, you know, Knight Monroe was born. I, you know, started performing and doing male entertaining, which is just, you know, male presenting drag. What I like to do is, you know, I like to sparkle, I like to shine. I do a lot of rhinestones, but I also do like to do a lot of alternative and rock and Disney and just, I don't know, very faceted. So from all of that, that is just kind of how Knight Monroe was born. I, you know, just got with the right people, learned about the right kind of art and stuff like that, and then kind of just got thrown out there. And at first, you know, it was for trying to make a living, kind of making my rent and things like that in Oklahoma City while doing a part-time job and getting extra cash and things like that. And then, you know, the more and more I did it, the more I just found the art and the love in it.
What pulled you into the pageant world of it?
So as far as the pageant world of it, my first ever pageant I did was Mr. Gay at Tulsa, US of A. And that was back in, I want to say, 2014. And I did it on a whim. I was like, you know, let's try pageantry. I really liked the idea of, you know, having a whole year to kind of work in the community and, you know, work with different foundations and different people and things like that, and getting to know community needs and kind of figuring out different plans to kind of fix that. I knew like doing pageants was kind of a great platform for that. So I entered my first one and got first alternate. I ended up not going to state that year. It kind of wasn't in the cards for me. But then a couple years later, I did Mr. Gay Oklahoma City US of A, which I won. And then I went to state for Mr. Gay Oklahoma US of A, and I did not win. However, I did get third place, and I won interview that year. So it was really, really cool, and that kind of gave me the burning passion. The competitive side of me kind of came out, but also like the compassionate community outreach side of me came out, and getting to kind of do both the pageants really, I don't know, really fueled my fire, to say.
Awesome. And so when you were crowned Arizona King 2024, how did that moment land for you?
Yeah, so whenever I did Arizona Snow King 2024, and I, you know, won that, it was just getting to join this new system, National Snow Queen Pageantry. And it was a newer system that's starting to get some national recognition. They've had their, I believe, fourth now national year that's going to be happening. So really excited about that. And what I really liked about this National Snow Queen Pageantry and why I wanted to represent Arizona in it and go to nationals was because of the inclusivity. It was very, very inclusive. It doesn't matter like what you're presenting, whether you're male or female presenting. You can go into whatever division you feel like you fit without having any kind of HRT or any kind of T or any just surgeries or just any kind of that, anything like that. It doesn't matter. Just whatever you feel like you present as a system you get to compete in. And that's something that not a lot of systems say that they have, you know, currently. And so I really, really love that. And then the community outreach aspect of it, one of the requirements is having community outreach, getting with a organization or having some kind of benefit to support somebody in the community or just some kind of community relations with the title. So that was another aspect that drew me into the system. And so that's kind of why I decided to represent Arizona. And when I went to nationals this past January in Hickory, North Carolina, I did not win. However, I did win an interview, and I did get most debonair. So I was really happy about that. And that's kind of my whole story with National Snow Queen Pageantry.
And how have you used your platform this year to give back or raise awareness in the community?
So this past year, one thing I really wanted to focus on was our trans community. And a good friend of mine and, you know, my old roommate, Coco Kane, she's going through her transition journey right now. And, you know, she was wanting to have the funds and things like that to continuing with her transition journey. And I was able to secure a benefit for her, and we were able to raise $1,000 for her transition, which was really, really great. I'm very, very super happy about that. And then also just being able to, yes, thank you. And then also beyond that, just being able to kind of open different doors and things like that in my community for newer entertainers, different kind of shows that I've been trying to have in Tucson to let people kind of have more of a platform, kind of a voice to talk about, you know, whatever they want to talk about. So that's something else I've been really, really doing with my reign. Also having benefits and things like that for not only Arizona Snow Queen Pageantry, but also for other systems as well. For Arizona America, I've been part of different benefits for them, raising money for some of their contestant packages. So just overall, just kind of trying to spread the wealth and spread the positivity.
Excellent. And looking back, what surprised you the most?
I would guess the community, acceptance of this title coming into Arizona. It was a newer system, and, you know, a lot of people at the very beginning were very like, well, what does it mean to be Arizona Snow King, or what is, you know, Snow Queen Pageantry, or what is this? And after getting to meet me and talk with me and, you know, being shows with me and stuff like that, the community, you know, has been very accepting of the title and, you know, wanting to see the system grow and opening up, you know, another system for individuals to come and get a platform to raise awareness for, you know, the different causes and the things they want to bring awareness to. So that was the biggest surprise to me, is just how accepting everybody really was at the very beginning of me, you know, getting this title and being the first one of Arizona to be the Arizona Snow King or be any kind of national snow cream pageantry representative here in Arizona. So that was just, that was the biggest shock for me, honestly, was just the community support has been very, very great here in Arizona and wanting to, you know, help me grow and not only me, but, you know, the system grow here in Arizona.
Yeah, that's great to have the community support like that. So speaking of the new pageant coming up, that's on July 26th at Sky Bar in Tucson. What kind of energy should people expect this year?
They should expect very, very high energy. I'm going to say our national national Snow Queen Safari Kelly and national Snow King Axel Alexa, they're both going to be here, of course, performing. And they are both just amazing performers, absolutely amazing performers. And they are just high energy, not to mention the rest of the entertainment that will be there that night will also be very, very high energy. We have a former national Snow Queen, Crystal Beth, and she'll be there as a as an entertainer and some other roles I can't really announce right now, but she'll be there. And it's just going to be very, very fun, very high energy. Anybody and everybody just come out, come see everybody's talent, appreciate, you know, the art form. And, you know, just have a good time. We have put a lot of effort into this, not only me, but the promoters, Daniel Hernandez and Kelly Swain. We have put a lot of time, energy into this to make this a very, very big event for our contestants and for our community to, you know, just come out and have a really, really good time and showcase just really, really good and authentic talent. So,
and you're being honored this year as the outgoing title holder. How does that feel?
You know, it's like a full circle moment for me, honestly. You know, being the first Arizona Snow King, and then, you know, giving up, you know, my title to someone else, and, you know, continue the you know, the legacy, I like to say, that I brought to everything. And then, of course, crowning our first Arizona Snow Queen and seeing what they do with their reign, that's also going to be amazing. So for me, it's like a whole full circle moment, you know, seeing it start as something that was really nothing here when I had the title, to turn into what it is now and have the contestants we have, the judges that are going to be judging, and just the entertainment and all of it. It's just a whole full circle moment for me, from, you know, seeing something so small to seeing it finish and realize to, you know, my give up and passing the reins on to someone else. Honestly, seeing what everybody brings, I'm a sucker for watching pageants myself. Like, I love watching pageants. And my reasoning for that is because, like, I just love seeing how people interpret category descriptions and categories. Like, everyone's mind is, you know, different. And just to see how people interpret that and their uniqueness, creativity, like, all of that, and seeing what they bring, their package, you know, that is what I love the best about the night. That's going to be my favorite part, is just seeing what everybody brings and their interpretation of it.
Now, let's talk about what's at stake. From crowns and custom wigs to travel stipends and a signature rhinestone jacket, what do you think makes this pageant special?
Well, you know, like you said, not only do we have all the, you know, all the goodies, you know, besides, you know, travel expenses, the ultimate jewelry set from Drip Drip Jewels, just all of that. Honestly, I would say, like, with this, the promoters is something that you're really gaining from this. I would say Kelly Swim and Daniel Hernandez, the promoters, they go above and beyond, and they support 100% with whatever, you know, you're wanting to do, whoever the winners are, whatever they decide that they want to do with their reign, they will support 100%. And to have that kind of support is just absolutely amazing, from taking you to nationals and being there every step of the way, to finding benefits for you to have for the organizations you're linked up with, and then just connecting you with people that can maybe help you, you know, build your dream just a little bit further. So I think, apart from the awards and the prize package, just the support that you're going to have from the promoters, and then that platform to be able to really have full control over the organization that you want to work with, and the community building and charities and fundraising, I think that's a big one as well.
And shout out to Danny. He's the one that got us in touch so that we could get on the podcast.
Yes. Yes.
So what advice would you give to this year's contestants, especially those stepping into pageantry for the first time?
You know, something I would definitely tell somebody stepping into it the first time and, you know, returning contestants and things like that is just, you know, always be yourself. And I know that sounds so cheesy and everyone says it, but honestly, that is something I can't express more to anybody, is that to be authentic, be yourself, and feel it in your heart. If your heart tells you this is what you should do, this is the talent you should do, this is what I need to say during an interview, or this is what I want to wear for gown or evening wear, if your heart is telling you it, that's what you need to do, regardless of what anyone else is telling you. If you feel it in your heart, that's what you should do, and that will be translated on stage.
Excellent. And finally, where can our listeners follow you, see you perform, or get more information about the upcoming pageant?
Yeah, definitely. So there is the Arizona Snow Queen Pageantry Facebook page, so you can definitely always go there. My Facebook page is Kane Styles on Facebook. On Instagram, it's PiscesBoy1893. But I normally post all my shows. I am all over, I like to say, honestly. I will be at Mojave Pride on the 31st of May. I have my own personal show called A Night Out of Town at Sky Bar on May 11th, where I bring out-of-town guests from all over the U.S. and, you know, some from Phoenix, Coco Cade and there from Dragula. We have two girls from Oklahoma coming. So it's going to be a really, really good time. It's called A Night Out of Town, May 11th, Sky Bar, 7 p.m. But yeah, that's where you can catch me recently.
Excellent. And maybe we can get in touch with some of those queens and bring them on the podcast as well.
Yeah, of course, definitely.
All righty. Knight Monroe, thank you so much for taking the time to visit with us today. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much.
Pride isn't just a weekend. It's a way of life on the Gay PHX podcast.
Looking for a reason to smile this summer? Grit pool parties are back.
Freaking awesome!
And Tempe Sundays just got a whole lot hotter. Clothing optional. BYOB. And yes, the legends are true. Whether you're here to flirt, float, or find your tribe, it's all happening at Grit. Spots are limited. Visit gritaz.com to grab yours.
Pride lives here. This is what community sounds like.
You've heard of softball leagues and karaoke nights, but what about a dark league that's been connecting Phoenix's LGBTQ plus community for decades? If you haven't heard of GLAAD yet, you're about to find out why. It's not just throwing darts, it's throwing parties, raising money, and building chosen family. From dart nights to underwear auctions, this league knows how to bring people together, give back, and have a whole lot of fun while doing it. Whether you're a seasoned player or can't hit the board to save your life, much like myself, this week's guest here to talk darts, community, and why it all matters. Welcome to the Rainbow Tinted Microphone, Steve Gonzalez with GLAAD. Howdy, Steve. What is GLAAD, and how did the league first get started?
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me. GLAAD is a dart league that was created by some bar owners back in 1987. They established this league for the purpose of bringing the lesbian and gay community together and raising money for charity. So it officially started in 1988. And since then, it's been now 37 years that it's been going, and it's going strong. We've raised, I'd say close to, or maybe just about, or right at $1 million since we started 37 years ago.
And see, that speaks to the power of community. What first brought you to the league?
A friend of mine was a bartender at a bar, and he came home and was like, I put you on our dart team. Never thrown a dart before.
You got voluntold?
Yes. Needless to say, I was not happy. And it took a while before I could actually hit the board and practice. But yeah, that's how it all started.
Yeah, the best place to stand when I'm playing darts is like right behind me.
Yeah.
What makes GLAAD different than a typical dart?
Well, we raise money. Most of the money we raise We are a 501c3, so most of the money we raise does go directly to local charities. So that's the difference. The members get a lot less than what they put into it, but it's really about family, about unity, about community, and raising money to help charities around our community.
Is that what keeps you involved all these years?
Yes.
How many years have you been with GLAAD?
I have been involved with the league since 94, so 31 years.
Wow, that's a long time.
And, you know, I never missed a season. I've been captain for most of that time.
What kind of people join?
You name it. Everybody from around the community. And, of course, we do have straight players as well, and they're welcome. Everyone's welcome to come and play. You know, they don't have to be the greatest dart players, and, you know, they just be average or less. It doesn't matter. It's just we all are here to do one thing, and we enjoy having fun playing, you know, different teams each week. And so it's.
Yeah. And where do you usually play?
We have five sponsor bars, and they are Bunkhouse, The Rock, Oz, Holly Rock, and Cruising 7.
And how is the season structured?
The season structured, we have two seasons each year. There's 16 weeks, and that's when we play all the different teams based on the schedule that we, you know, provide to each team. And then after 16 weeks, we go into tournaments. So each team is will end up in a division, A, B, C, or D, depending on the number of the teams we have playing each season. We have tournaments to determine who's the top of each division.
How many teams do you usually get per season?
It varies. This season we have 21. We've had up to, in the past, many years ago, we've had like 36 teams.
Oh, wow.
You know, maybe even more than that. So
how does a team get pulled together to join?
Well, you can get a group of friends together or ask us to help you find players or, you know, just we can put teams together if we need to. We always have tried to help get players to play for teams when they need a team. And, of course, the opposite, we get teams to take on players or find them through us or through their friends. So,
is there ever a need for a filler, so to speak? So if someone isn't part of the league necessarily, but wants to kind of check it out and sees you out, if there's opportunity for them to join?
Yes, we sure do. We have what's called a one night only player. And so many of the teams have, they consist of seven players, but sometimes they can't have enough to fill the five player team. So they'll have somebody come from outside that's not already a player from another team to play for them. Sometimes it could just be a patron in the bar. It's not uncommon for that to happen.
So how's the typical game night kind of go?
Well, we start out it starts at 8 p.m. Teams get to warm up before, and then we have 301 and the single 301 games, and then two team 501 games and two cricket games. So it's a total of 15 points. Usually lasts about maybe an hour, sometimes 2 hours, depending on the teams.
And is it competitive? Is it community cocktails? A little bit of all three?
It's all three. Yeah. We have the competitive ones, and we have the ones that are just, you know, out to have a good time, and it's be all three all together.
And we know that GLAAD is also known for its creative fundraisers. Like, for example, we've been a part of the underwear auction in the past. Can you tell us about some of the different things that you do?
Each season, we do dart tournaments, charity dart tournaments, where the money goes just to the charities. We do a bacon off. We do a chili and salsa cook-off, and we do our underwear auction each year. So our next event will be our chili and salsa cook-off, and that'll be on Memorial Day weekend, the Sunday, May 25th. And basically, we bring a pot of chili in or salsa, and it's $10 to enter and put in an entry, and then you know, $10 for people that want to taste. It's one fee for, you know, for the taster and, of course, the person that puts them in entry. And then we give away $100 for best chili, $75 for best salsa. And then we also have a memorial tournament. We have tournaments throughout the year that are, you know, from designated former players that made a difference for the league. This one is the Brian Wiley Memorial Dart Tournament that started, in the early Cobalt days. We started have a heart project there. Then when Brian passed, we started having this tournament right near his birthday. And most of them are aimed like right near their birthdays so that we can remember who they were and what they contributed to the league to make it as successful.
Oh, wow. And when you say old Cobalt days, I assume that's before they moved to their new location in the same building or same complex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Back when it was kind of like more, almost like a split bar because of the awkward position back in the day.
We called it the fishbowl. I like to sit outside and watch people pass by and, you know, see people come in and out. And it was just that was such a great bar. The whole way it was right. Set up.
So it was certainly unusual. It was a lot of fun. And how do these events come to be? What are the different causes that you support?
The different causes you support? Gosh, I have a whole list of charities that we've given to over the years. Let's see. You probably wouldn't recognize a lot of these. Agape Feeding Program, AMFAR. This is before, you know, some of these are national organizations before we decided we needed to focus on making a difference in our local community. APAS, Arizona Animal Welfare League, Arizona Friends of Foster Children, Arizona Small Dog Rescue, Aunt Rita's Foundation, Body Positive, Brian Wiley Memorial Scholarship Fund, Camp Hakuna Matata, City of Hope, Gay and Lesbian Community Center, Grand Canyon Men's Corral, Halo Animal Rescue, Joshua Tree Feeding Program, Logan's Playground, Mulligan's Manor, Lost Our Home Pet Rescue, One Voice Community Center, 1 in 10, Phoenix Children's Hospital, Phoenix Gay Teens Crisis Line, Phoenix GLPD Suicide Line, Phoenix Pride, Project Hard Hat, Rockstar Animal Rescue, Southwest Center for HIV, The Names Project, and the Phoenix Shanti Group. The last to kind of tell you, you know, at least the Names Project, how long ago we've been giving money to charity since the beginning. So,
any standout memories or wild stories?
So many.
I mean, there's got to be so many across those years. I'm sure it's hard to pick one out.
It is. There's been a lot. I mean, I've been involved with the league going to their meetings right on the time I started Have a Heart Project 17 years ago. So Have a Heart Project's been around since 2008. It's kind of funny how that all came about. I was getting tired of just the league and, you know, having to go to these long meetings every now and then, and I just kind of burned out. And I'm like, we need to do something more. We've got to do something more that's going to help promote the Dart League and help raise money for charity at the same time. So I started brainstorming, putting some of these things together. Of course, other members of the league helped, like the underwear auction, stuff like that, and got it all together. I put a project plan and gave it, you know, presented it to the league, and they voted it in, and we started within 3 months. We started having our first benefits. That was on June of 2008 that we started.
And that's the Have a Heart Project? Is that what that's called? Correct.
So basically what we do is I have a team. We go, we run all of these events, you know, be it selling raffle tickets, selling jello shots, administrative stuff, setting up decorating, making sure everything flows correctly. So that's the team that does all of that. So we prepare everything for each one of these separate events.
I see. I understand. So GLAD is the Dart and the Dart Tournament part. And then they Have a Heart helps with the additional supplemental parts like the underwear auction and the chili and salsa. Got it. Now I understand. See?
Yeah. And just Have a Heart Project itself in its existence has raised, I would say, about $130,000 to date by itself. Yeah.
Congratulations. That is very impressive. That certainly deserves that. Because that's incredible. That's awesome. Yeah. So to someone who's listening right now, if they're thinking, I want in, how can they get involved?
Well, we are going to have our season just ended. We're going to have our beginning season startup meeting on July 2nd, and that will be at Cruising 7th at 7:30 p.m. Just need to have a captain and have somebody that's going to be captain come in and fill out a captain sheet at the meeting. Let us know you get to get a sponsor, find one of the bars or a gay friendly or one of the local gay bars, and see if, you know, if they will sponsor and have that, you know, that way we know who's going to be sponsoring you. Most of the time the teams bring in the $50 sponsor fee from the bars, and then we just take a couple of weeks to put everything together, and the teams, you know, the captains, make sure they have a full team, and then we start a few weeks after that.
So help me understand, how many people on a team?
Seven.
Seven people on a team, including the captain or plus the captain?
It's including the captain, so it's five players and two alternates.
So each night, five people have to be able to show up to make a team.
Yeah.
And sponsor has to be a bar or has to be a business? Has to be, help me understand what a sponsor is?
It can be a business. They just have to find a bar that will be able to host them when they're home.
Oh, I see. To be their home bar for when it comes dark tournament time, playing around as you jump to location. Understood. Catching on. See, these are why I ask the questions.
Every other week you're at home. And of course, every other week you're away playing somewhere, playing at another location. And it could be at the same bar that's your home bar. Not uncommon.
Then how many weeks is it?
16 weeks of match play against other teams, and then two additional weeks after that of tournament.
And what nights do you play?
Tuesday night.
And if people want to follow you or learn more, how can they find you online?
We are on Facebook under Gay and Lesbian Association of Darts or GLAD Dart League, and we also have a website. It is www.gladphxaz.org. You can find information as well as our bylaws, our standings, and then Have a Heart Project has a page on there with upcoming events.
Excellent.
And I just posted the chili cook-off on there. Yeah, our chili cook-off, it's $10 to enter. Bring you a pot of chili, your favorite recipe or favorite salsa, $10 to enter. For people that just want to taste, that's also a $10 fee. You fill out a ballot when you decide who. It's based on taster's choice. It's not, we don't have any judges come in and, you know, do any of that. It's all based on how many people come in and join in and then place their ballot. We give away a trophy for best tasting salsa and best tasting chili. And we also have our dart tournament, and that's a double elimination tournament. And teams that place first, second, or third will get medals for the Brian Wiley Memorial. Again, that's May 25th.
How many different chilies and salsas do you normally get?
We normally get anywhere from 10 to 15. About 10 to 15 chilies, and then probably about 10 salsas.
And this all happens at Bunkhouse, correct?
This all happens at Bunkhouse, yeah.
On Memorial Day weekend, the 25th?
Yes, Sunday, the 25th.
Perfect. Anything else that you want to say? Anything else you want to drop in there? Let people know?
Any Tuesday night, over the next couple of weeks, you can see how this runs. Tonight we have a tiebreaker week, so we'll be at Bunkhouse, but all of the sponsor bars following starting the 20th, we'll have tournaments, and you can come and check out the players throwing darts in different divisions. So you can always follow us and see where we're going to be at on our notes on our Facebook page.
Steve, again, thank you so very much for being here and doing this and taking time out of your day to do.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Another voice, another vibe,
another reason we love this community.
Arizona is repping hard at International Mr. Leather, and we're taking you with us. Catch the Arizona Men of Leather streaming live all weekend long from Chicago to gayphx.com/live. We're cheering on Dennis, Joe, Terry, and Britt as they compete for the title and show the world what Arizona leather is all about. Daily check-ins, real-time interviews, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of leather. Join the chat, cheer on the crew, and feel the heat wherever you are. That's gayphx.com/live. It's AML at IML, and it's gonna be wild.
Uplifting the community.
Whether you're flinging darts, rhinestoning a crown, or DJing at a Western saloon, one thing's clear. Phoenix shows up for each other. Big thanks to Mr. AGRA 2024, Miss Honey T. And thanks to Knight Monroe and Steve Gonzalez for reminding us how powerful it is to show up authentically. And of course, shout out to Brian for keeping us in the loop of everything that's happening around town this week. And before you go, tickets for the Grit Pool Party on June 1st are going fast, so grab yours now at gritaz.com before they're gone. And don't miss your chance to win Diamondback Pride Night tickets. That's diamond level seating, 10% off concessions, 20% off merch, and a parking pass included. Enter now at gatephx.com thanks to Oliver Electric. Got a shout out, birthday wish, or message for the community? Call the feedback line at 602-GAY-9482. That's 602-429-9482. And you just might hear yourself on an upcoming episode. This is your podcast, your community, and your voice belongs here. If you like what you heard, like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, and visit gayphx.com for weekend photos, our full event calendar, and to tell us who we should feature next. I'm Billy Foster. I'll see you next week.
Thanks for hanging out with the Gay PHX Podcast.
Be kind.
Be bold.
Be you.